Just a few individuals would protest as we are here in Milwaukee, in cities and towns across the country. Perhaps the media would give it a look. Perhaps we have to start leading this country from the ground up. Stand up, Americans. By the way, my emailer writes, after the war starts, or should we dump the idea, my personal weekly protest will change to impeach Bush for, among other things, frightening and destabilizing the world with his war rhetoric. So if downtown Milwaukee, every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., you can find these folks, just a handful. You might want to join them. Texas. What group is this? Bush will be in Houston on September 28th to raise campaign funds for John Cronin, the Republican candidate for senator. Fundraiser is at 5 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency, 1200 Louisiana Avenue in Houston. There is a rally in protest of this. And just, here's the website, austinagainstwar.org. austinagainstwar.org. This is a protest September 28th, and they are carpooling from Austin, from around the state of Texas, to go to Houston and confront Bunny Pants as he raises money for the Republican candidate for senator, who is the former, I believe, Attorney General of Texas. So go to that website, austinagainstwar.org, or if you live in the Milwaukee area, check out the people downtown Milwaukee who are protesting. When we return, Bunny Pants speaks. Don't miss it. 'Cause I saw it on TV.
I know it's true. Oh, so. Robert Louis Stevenson's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jekyll.
Now the despicable Mr. Hyde.
Jekyll?
Hyde. Jekyll? Hyde. I'm a mean man.
Then I'm a nice man. I'm your friend.
I'm a jerk. Friend. Jerk.
I like having immediate claim service.
Shut up. You shut up. You shut up. No, you shut up. No.
Immediate claim service to get you back on the road fast. And you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
One voice. It can get the point across, but it only carries so far. Add a voice. It's richer, louder, but that has limits too. Add a third voice. It's even more powerful. Add another, and another, and many, many more, and we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups, faith groups, civic organizations, PTAs, employers, and many others in your community organize their resources and focus them where they're needed most. Like fighting to keep kids away from drugs. Ask a group that you belong to if they should belong to a community coalition. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org and they'll tell you exactly how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more
when we get together.
Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
It starts tomorrow during the big, big sale at Radio Shack. Save an extra 10% when you use your Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card. Save an extra 10% on wireless phones. Save an extra 10% on digital satellite TV systems. Just use your Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card. Don't have a card? Apply today. Hurry. This offer ends Sunday during the big, big sale at Radio Shack.
10% off through 9/22/02 at participating stores on purchases paid with the Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card. Computers, PDA, services, online phone, and special orders excluded. Void where prohibited. Cannot be combined with certain other offers.
The story of the first not-for-profit university mirrors that of its founder. The University of Phoenix began with 8 paying students. It's now a global force with campuses in 35 states and revenues of over $50 million. Its founder, John Sperling, is the son of a sharecropper. Sperling eventually became one of the greatest entrepreneurs of his time. He shares his story in a new book. In the book, he also defends his vision of adult education and his commitment to making it accessible to women, minorities, and poor students, as well as his desire to give something back to communities. He also discusses his initiative to end the war on drugs. The book, Rebel with a Cause, The Entrepreneur Who Created the University of Phoenix and the For-Profit Revolution in Higher Education, is published by Wiley. It's available at bookstores or by calling 1-800-225-5945.
While 1 in 20 Americans has low vision, many don't know what low vision is, much less that something can be done about it. Low vision usually develops as a result of eye disease. Regular eyeglasses won't help, but there are many vision rehabilitation programs, services, and devices that can help those who have it lead fuller, more productive lives. If you have low vision, there are programs that train you to use visual and adaptive devices so you can function better in your home and in the workplace. These programs can also provide group support services that will help those with low vision live more safely and independently. By taking advantage of all that's available, people with low vision can make the most of the vision they have. More information is in a free booklet from the National Eye Institute. For a copy, call 1-877-569-8474.
Evil is real, and it must be ridiculed. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, the initial reports are starting to come out now on the Joint Committee of the House and Senate to take a look at what happened subsequent to September 11th. The Washington Post is reporting yesterday that the Joint House-Senate Intelligence Committee released a staff report on the September 11th failures and began to hold hearings. Those involved in the congressional investigation say they had been thwarted by the Bush administration's refusal to share information about what the White House knew before last year's terrorist attack. Senator Richard Shelby, who's a Republican from Alabama, the ranking Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee, said in a joint appearance with his co-chair, Bob Graham, a Democrat from Florida, on NBC's Today Show, he said, "Are we getting the cooperation we need? Absolutely not." Makes you wonder why. Doesn't it? I mean, why would the Bush administration not cooperate? Well, obviously, because they are complicit. They have blood on their hands. They have the blood of over 3,000 people on their scummy, bony hands. That's why. What other conclusion can you draw? National security? Oh, stop it. Now, as far as the statements made in the past couple of months by thugs like Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, that there was no information available to these people, it now turns out that there were over 33 communications to the Bush administration indicating a possible imminent terrorist attack. The information is starting to come out. Now, this is the reason that Cheney and Bush both called Tom Daschle and said, "Well, when you start your little inquiry, don't go too deep." Well, as this information starts to come out, and eventually, it may take 20 years, but the truth will come out, that George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, the rest of these people are covered with the blood and gore of the people who were on our soil on September 11th and were murdered. Is that too strong for you? Well, it's not for me. They are covered with the blood and body parts of these people because they knew that an event like this was going to occur. And I don't care if they didn't know the exact flight numbers or the exact time of the morning or the exact buildings that were going to be hit. They knew. They knew, and they did nothing. Bush, speak it. Do we have time for the first one here? Let's do a few before we go back to your phone calls. All right. This is George W. Bush speaking to reporters after sending his Iraq resolution to Congress today.
The United Nations Security Council must work with the United States and Britain and other concerned parties.
Who would that be?
To send a clear message that we expect Saddam to disarm. And if the United Nations Security Council won't deal with the problem, the United States and some of our friends will.
A little idiot, doesn't that sound like high school? Now, if you don't do it, me and my friends are going to come and whip your ass. Do you understand?
You understand? We're going to whip your ass. Now, I told you to stay away from Betty Lou. And if you don't stay away from Betty Lou, me and my friends, we're going to come and beat your ass.
This is the leader of the free world. Another threat. More threats from the idiot. More threats. We expect Saddam to disarm. Oh, really? You expect him to disarm? All right, coming back, got another break. Coming back, we have a reporter saying, sir, the chief weapons inspector is going to be briefing the UN Security Council today, and there have already been some reports that in his talk with the Iraqis that they're limiting access to certain sites. Are those reports true, Mr. Sir, Mr. President, sir, may I lick your boots? Oh, God, I'm so obsequious because, you see, I am a member of the crack White House press corps. Mr. Sir, President, could you tell me, is that true? Is Iraq now putting conditions? It's that sort of, that's how the rest of the program is going to be, so stick around. I'm Mike Molloy.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Dave Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday, and 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific on Sunday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
You're listening to the Mike Molloy Show weekdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Peter Werby's next at 6 on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A planned sale of the Hershey Foods Company is off. The $6 billion charitable trust fund that owns a majority stake in the chocolate maker was exploring the idea of a sale, and other big-name candy makers like Nestle and Cadbury were eagerly looking to snatch up their competition. But the plan proved too much of a public relations nightmare for the trust fund, and yesterday its board of directors voted to put the deal on hold indefinitely. Nearly one in three residents of Hershey, Pennsylvania work for the company, and the proposed sale was almost universally unpopular in the town of 20,000.
Jim Beam workers at a distillery in Kentucky have beaten back the potty police. Last year, the company instituted a three-bathroom break maximum on workers after claiming in an in-house investigation that people were making excessive trips to the toilet. Some workers took to wearing diapers on the production floor so as not to run afoul of the rule, which could result in termination. But since the policy became public, Jim Beam's taken a beating in the press. Tired of the pressure both from the public and from state labor regulators, the company's decided to do away with the bathroom break rules completely.
The Canadian auto workers have a tentative new contract with General Motors that would cover 19,000 workers. The agreement came just 5 hours before a strike deadline and would boost wages and give workers more paid vacation time. Union President Buzz Hargrove.
The highlight of this agreement is the continuing commitment of General Motors to the job security of our members and their families and their commitment to strengthen the Canadian automotive industry.
Under the tentative contract, GM would agree to invest another $800 million Canadian in its operations north of the border. That's about a $500 million in U.S. currency.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Advances in plastics have helped one athlete to pursue his dream of gold. In 1994, track athlete John Register was at his peak. He had previously qualified for the Olympics in Barcelona and Seoul and was set to do it again. But in a freak accident during training, Register twisted his leg and severed an artery. The leg was amputated, but Register was undaunted. He entered his first sprinting competition on a prosthetic leg 4 years after the accident. An advanced prosthetic limb with a soft plastic socket enables the muscles in his leg to grow and gives him the freedom to run with a natural gait. With this leg, Register shaved a full 4 seconds off his time in the 100 meters and has tied the world record in the long jump. Next up, the Paralympics in Sydney, Australia. The Paralympics are Olympic-type games for people with physical handicaps.
Mike Malloy, ridding the world of evildoers, one flying monkey at a time.
So there we are in the White House this morning with the crack White House press corps and the Bush baby.
Sir, 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 the chief weapons inspector is going to be briefing the UN Security Council today, and there have already been some reports that, you know, in his talks with the Iraqis, that they're limiting access to certain sites. Are those reports true, sir, Mr. President, sir? Are they true? Please tell us, sir.
There are no negotiations to be held with Iraq.
Oh, okay.
Oh. They have nothing to negotiate.
Okay.
They're the people who said that they would not have weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, you're right.
The negotiations are over.
Okay.
It is up to the UN Security Council to lay out resolutions that confirms what Iraq has already agreed to.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't understand that last part. You sound like a gibbering moron. You'll excuse my directness, sir, but I don't know what you're saying. It's up to the UN Security Council to lay out resolutions that confirms what Iraq is... What? Well, let me hand it off to one of my co-members of the crack White House press corps.
Mr. President, America wants to know, you've said many times about, you know, the coalition, and our friends are going to jump in there and whip some Iraqi ass. Let me just, excuse me, sir, I didn't mean to say ass. But let me ask you, Mr. Bush, how many of our friends are, President Bush, how many of our friends are willing to join the United States in this effort?
I think you're going to see a lot of nations love freedom.
What?
They understand the threat.
Oh, yeah.
They understand that the credibility of the United Nations is at stake.
Uh-huh.
They heard me loud and clear when I said either you can be the United Nations.
Yeah.
A capable body.
Yeah.
A body able to keep the peace, or you can be the League of Nations.
Uh-huh.
And we're confident that people will follow our lead.
Oh, or you'll probably bomb them, right? Mr. Bush, just one last... I'm sorry, President Bush, one last thing. You keep referring to the League of Nations. You do understand, sir, that the United States Senate, back in 1920, 1921, I forget, refused to ratify our joining the League of Nations. You do understand that. I'm trying to figure out why you keep bringing up the League of Nations, you moron. Oh, excuse me, sir. What? The Secret Service is now hauling me out. Oh, well, Mr. Bush, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a moron, Mr. Bush. Next reporter.
Mr. Bush, the Iraqi foreign minister gave a speech at the UN today. Could you tell us your opinion of that, sir?
I don't trust Iraq.
Oh.
And neither should the free world.
Okay.
For 11 years... they have deceived the world.
The world.
They have said, we will conform to resolutions.
Yeah.
They've never conformed to resolutions. They've never conformed to the agreement that they laid out 11 years ago. 16 times they've defied security resolutions.
Sir, Mr. Bush, that may be true, but, you know, some of our allies like, Pakistan, Israel, even us, there are a lot of things that we've not done. We've violated agreements, hell, since you've been the president-select, Mr. Bush, sir. How many international agreements have you violated? What? Secret Service wants to see me out in the hall? Oh, wait a minute, I have another question. Wait a second, I'm dead.
Next reporter.
Mr. President, are you going to send Congress your proposed resolution today? And are you asking for a, you'll pardon the expression, sir, are you asking for a blank check on all this, sir?
I've asked for Congress's support. to enable the administration to keep the peace.
Oh.
And we look forward to a good, constructive debate in Congress.
Oh, good.
I appreciate the fact that the leadership recognizes we've got to move before the elections.
Yeah.
I appreciate the strong support we're getting from both Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, but Mr. President, if I may interrupt, sir, the function of the United States Senate and the function, to a large degree, of the U.S. House of Representatives is not to line up in single file and kiss your ass, sir. The function of the members of those two august bodies is to challenge you. Do you understand that, Mr. Bush? You see, there are three branches of government. What? Secret Service wants to see me out in the hall? Oh, wait a minute. Well, Mr. Bush, there's three branches of government, and there's...
Next, reporter. How many of you scumbags are left? Oh, I see we're down to two. Oh, good.
Mr. President, how important is it that the resolution you're seeking... from Congress, give you an authorization for the use of force?
That'll be part of the resolution, the authorization to use force.
Yeah, I know.
If you want to keep the peace, you've got to have the authorization to use force.
Well, I know that.
But it's not, this is a chance for Congress to indicate support. A chance for Congress to say we support the administration's ability to keep the peace. That's what this is all about.
But sir, if I may interrupt, you're not keeping peace anywhere. You got a war in Afghanistan. You really have a war in Pakistan. You've got a war in Colombia. You've got a war in the occupied territories and Israel. And you've got you've got wars all over the place. And Mr. President, it's not the function of the Congress to line up single file and kiss your ass, sir. That's not what the Senate... What? Secret Service wants to see me out in the hall? Well, but, sir, it was about advice and consent, sir. It's three branches of...
Well, you know. That's how it goes. First your money, then your clothes.
The Iraqi Foreign Minister Najir Sabri, speaking at the UN, quoting from a letter written by the lesser tyrant, Saddam Hussein.
The U.S. administration wants to destroy Iraq in order to control the Middle East oil and consequently control the politics as well as the oil and economic policies of the whole world.
Duh.
If it succeeded in that, God forbid, it would dictate on you what each country needs for its economic development, what quantities of oil it is allowed to buy, and at what prices, along with other conditions.
Yeah, well, Mr. Sabri, with all due respect, the real deal here, pal, is we shouldn't be buying your crappy oil anyway. Not yours, not the Saudis, not the Kuwaitis, not the Colombians, not the Mexicans, not the Venezuelans, not the English. None of you. You understand? What? You have more to say? Oh, okay, Mr. Iraqi Foreign Minister.
The U.S. President talked about the importance of applying democracy by the government of Iraq. He pretended to care for the people of Iraq, after he and other presidents before him have killed by the use of weapons, including depleted uranium, and by the blockade, which is now more than 12 years old, more than 1,700,000 innocent Iraqis out of a population of 25 million citizens. So after a long time of utilizing the American propaganda machine, along with official statements of lies, distortion, and falsehood, the focus was deliberately turned on inciting the American public against Iraq.
Yeah, but you gassed your own people, didn't you? Oh, the Kurds are not your people? Oh. Well, what about the Iranians? You gassed them. You used chemical weapons on them. What? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. George Bush's father and Ronald Reagan provided you with all that, but they didn't really want you to use it. Oh, my God. We almost killed 2 million Iraqis, huh?
Or what was it you said? Yeah, we killed almost 2 million. 1,700,000 innocent. Well, give us a little time and we'll get the other 300,000. You know, we don't like unrounded off numbers here in America. 2 million sounds like a good number. What? You have more to say?
Ladies and gentlemen, I hereby declare before you that Iraq is totally clear of all nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons.
Yeah.
If there are anyone amongst you who might still worry that the fabrications announced by American officials about Iraq may possibly be true, our country is ready to receive any scientific experts accompanied by politicians. If such experts and politicians visit Iraq, we shall provide them with all the facilities they need to achieve their objective, that is, to see the true facts as they are.
Well, there has to be a trick there. What? You're opening up your entire country to experts on chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons? What? You're opening up your entire country to scientific experts and politicians? What? Well, nice speech, dude, but let me turn to the pencil neck geek and see what he has to say about your nice speech.
In this speech, Iraq failed to accept the truth and engaged in additional deceptions and showed no willingness to change attitude or behavior.
Yeah.
Sadly, the speech presented nothing new.
Yeah.
And was more of the same.
Right.
It was a disappointing failure in every respect.
Uh-huh.
The speech is an attempt to lure the world down the same dead-end road that the world has traveled before.
Oh, that's good, Ari. That's really good. Nothing new in the speech. No change in attitude or behavior. When this Iraqi foreign minister, metaphorically, rips off his coat and tie, strips his shirt from his chest, removes his pants, undergarments, socks and shoes, stands there naked and says, "Take a look! Please come take a look!" Nothing new? More of the same? A disappointing failure in every respect, Ari Fleischer says. This speech is an attempt to lure the world. The world? Do you think Nigeria is being lured down the same dead-end road that the world has traveled before? How about Uruguay? Ari, is Uruguay being led down the, lured down the... Oh, my God, I get so sick of him. Don't you get sick of him? Yes, of course. Now, just a couple more. Mr. Bush, when he met with congressional leaders the other day, Republicans and what used to be called Democrats and are now called, I don't know what the hell they're called, invisible men. But he met with the American Fascist Party representatives, that would be Trent Lott and Denny Hastert, and he met with the invisible former Democrats, Tom Daschle and Dick Gephardt, and they had a nice discussion about killing people in the Middle East. So, Mr. President, what did you discuss with congressional leaders yesterday, sir, Mr. President, sir?
We talked about the fact that Saddam Hussein has stiffed the United Nations
oh,
11 long years.
I thought it was 12.
And that once again he said, you know, made some kind of statement trying to take the pressure off of himself.
Yeah.
The statement about unconditional instructions or something he's made in the past.
I can't hear you, sir.
He deceives, he delays, he denies.
Yeah.
And, the United States, and I'm convinced the world community aren't going to fall for that kind of rhetoric by him again.
Mr. Bush, can I get you a cup of coffee or some Nodos or something? You really sound like you're starting to phase out, bro. I don't know. You got a Coke hangover? What's going on? You taking too much Prozac? What? The Secret Service wants to see me out in the hall? Well, sir, I didn't mean anything. I just meant maybe you were dipping into Pickles Prozac, sir. Where do these guys come from? Mr. Bush, I I'm a Democrat, sir, and yeah, that's right. I'm in the press, and I'm a Democrat, and I want to know what you think about the Democratic leadership that has decided to allow you to kill as many Iraqis as you want to, sir.
I want to thank the leadership for its commitment to get a resolution done before members go home for the election break.
You want some coffee?
I think it's an important signal. It's an important signal for the country, but as importantly, it's an important signal for the world to see that this country is united in our resolve to deal with threats that we face.
Well, sir, with all due respect, the only threat, real threat, this country faces right now, other than, oh, I don't know, maybe Chinese ICBMs, is you and Ashcroft and Rumsfeld. And of course, Cheney, I mean, you're the threat. What? Secret Service wants to see me out in the hall? Well, Mr. President, I was just saying that the real threat, you guys are the real threat.
So there's one reporter left.
Mr. President, do you think that you'll be able to persuade France and Russia to go along with you on whatever it is that you and the Congress decide to do? And frankly, sir, is that necessary? We don't need them, do we? Are you prepared to go it alone, Mr. President?
Yes, I think reasonable people understand this man is unreasonable.
Oh.
Reasonable people understand that this is just a ploy. This is a tactic.
Oh, okay.
This is a way to try to save the world. Oh, I'm a wonderful, peaceful fellow, when in fact he not only kills his own people, he's terrorized his neighborhood, and he's developing weapons of mass destruction. We must deal with him.
Well, Mr. President, with all due respect, sir, you know, you and your family and Reagan, you know, you killed and terrorized your neighborhood, too. I mean, the United States, I know this unpleasant, sir, and it doesn't justify Saddam Hussein sending the bombers to New York on September 11th. Oh, I know, that's not how it's been reported, but, sir, obviously it must have been Saddam who did it. But, sir, what? The Secret Service wants to see me out in the hall? Well, I didn't know. Well, sir, I just have a... I'm part of the crack White House press corps, sir.
Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Mom, see you later.
Jason?
Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
at 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
RID presents A Mother's Guide to the 5 Stages of Head Lice Infestation. First, there's shock. Followed by denial.
No, this isn't happening.
Anger.
Darn sleepovers.
Bargaining.
Please, not head lice.
And finally, acceptance.
My kid got lice? I'll get RID.
If someone you love needs to get rid of lice completely, remember RID, America's number one lice-killing brand, and a great way to make lice a memory. Got lice? Get RID. Use as directed.
It starts tomorrow during the Big Big Sale at Radio Shack. Save an extra 10% when you use your Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card. Save an extra 10% on wireless phones. Save an extra 10% on digital satellite TV systems. Just use your Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card. Don't have a card? Apply today. Hurry. This offer ends Sunday during the Big Big Sale at Radio Shack.
10% off through 9/22/02 at participating stores on purchases paid with the Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card. Computers, PDA, services, online phone, and special orders excluded. Void where prohibited. Cannot be combined with certain other offers.
Know those carnival people who guess your weight? Well, guessing may be fun at the state fair, but it's very costly if you're buying a used car. Is the car exactly as it appears, or has somebody crawled up under the dash and taken 20 or 30,000 miles off the odometer? Why guess? Get a vehicle history report from Carfax.com. They'll give you the real history of any used car. Visit CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax report. Don't buy a used car without Carfax.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
A grand and growing trend in vacation travel is grand travel, where grandparents take a trip with just the grandchildren. Grandparents indicated that their favorite grand travel vacation spot is Orlando, Florida. The most popular activities among grandparents who would take their grandchildren to Orlando are going to the theme parks and attractions, and going to special events, festivals, and fairs. When asked when they'd like to travel to Orlando, survey participants favored the summer months, followed by spring, winter, and fall. Other popular cities for grand travel include Anaheim, California, New York City, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco. June was the overall preferred month of travel. To obtain vacation information on Orlando, including an official visitor's guide and mature traveler discount brochure, contact the Orlando Visitors Bureau at 1-800-972-3308 or visit the website at www.go2orlando.com.
Be a father to your child. Be a father to your child.
I'm interrupting this rap to rap to you for a second about the one thing we don't seem to rap about enough, even though it's the one thing we should never get tired of rapping about. Our children. The future of our kids starts now. And part of getting them off to a great start is making sure they spend plenty of time with Dad. That's right, Dad. Your influence is that important. By spending time with your child, you're taking an active role in the social and emotional well-being of your child. Because the most important part about being a dad is just being there.
So get yourself together for your child's sake and be a father to your child.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, 100 Black Men of America, and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free helpful information.
Don't let the terrorists win. Listen to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, I certainly have fun today. 800-TALK-S is the number. There's no point giving out the number. Bob is calling from Richton Park, Illinois. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You should call Russ Limbaugh, the Republican Minister of Propaganda.
Yeah.
I have some redneck relatives. I'm originally from Central Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And every time I say something against him or the Republicans, they always, well, prove it. Because they totally believe what Rush says.
Well, a lot of people do.
So if you call him the Republican Minister of...
Well, I used to, but as a matter of fact, that's what we used to call him. But I like Pigman much better. It's more fitting now.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief, just hung up?
No,
are you there?
Here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, is that a crack White House press corps you talking about?
Yeah.
Is that a White House press corps high on crack? I'm not sure.
I wish these people would use some sort of a methamphetamine to perk them up a little bit. I mean, they all act like little puppy dogs.
Very interesting idea.
Yeah.
Talking about bootlickers, you know, the guy that gets my bootlicker of the week award is Max Baucus. I saw him in this little senatorial debate on TV the other night. He was talking about, me and President Bush agreed on fast-track trade authority. We agree on the war on terrorism. We agree on Iraq. I helped them pass the tax cut.
Right.
Man, he was just kissing Bush's butt all over the place. So he gets the reward. These idiots in Congress, they're going to go ahead and pass it. looks like to me. You know, so you're right about that.
Yeah, I think so. Just like the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, just like the resolution during the Reagan years to send U.S. Marines to Lebanon, and then we had 243 of them blown to pieces thanks to Ronald Reagan, another chicken hawk, yellow-bellied, spineless, whoops, be
it's
careful.
A scumbag,
now,
yeah.
Well, yeah, every time we pass one of these congressional resolutions, instead of having what the Constitution mandates before we start to kill and be killed, we wind up in a horrible mess, and it's going to happen again. Hey, Joe, thanks for checking in, pal. We're flat out of time. Steve Damschroeder produced or engineered the program from our Detroit facilities today. Catherine Bay produced here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman, our announcer. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2000.